Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
What's up? Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. We are now officially live, streaming as well. We'll tell you about that in just a second. But first, I got to tell you, our guest today, Tim Kirkjian, will stop by in about 20 minutes. Sorry about that. We started a little early. I wasn't ready to start early because we have a lot of things that I have to do before we actually hit the air. But Tim Kirkjian is going to join us at 10:15 because today was supposed to be opening day, and that didn't happen. And Ben Lyons, we're going to do a weekly movie thing with Ben Lyons. It's normally going to be Fridays, but I'm actually off tomorrow. I had some personal business I needed to take care of tomorrow, which now I can't do in person, but I will be doing on Skype and with a particular person. So I'll be off tomorrow. Bergman, who's in for me tomorrow?
Tomorrow it's Ramona Shelburne and Brian Kamenetsky.
Okay, there you have it.
That'll always be fun.
So Ramona Shelburne and Brian Kamenetsky will be on for me tomorrow. Yes, that's fun. So we'll have that. Now, how sad are you about opening day or the lack thereof of opening day right now? I would imagine that stinks for you.
I'm really sad about opening day right now. I was really excited about this team. We've talked about it a bunch of times where, you know, Mookie Betts is a Dodger right now, and I don't get to see him live. This is the best Dodger team that I may have ever seen in my entire life, and I don't actually get to see that iteration of it until when? Possibly the middle of June? So I'm sad. Today is a big day usually for me.
I mean, if that, the middle of June. We don't even know if that's going to be the middle of June. Now, it just kind of depends on who who you listen to. So Rob Manfred, Laura, do me a favor. Rob Manfred was on yesterday with Scott Van Pelt, and he was asked about when Major League Baseball would start. Let me hear that audio.
Well, we have a whole group of resources that we're relying on to plan and to have the best possible understanding as to what the situation is. We're working with CDC, the World Health Organization, and we have four infectious disease specialists from universities around the country, including Columbia, Duke, MIT, that are giving us advice on what they think the course of the pandemic is going to be and what the outlook is for returning to a more normal situation.
How quickly, Commissioner, did it become apparent from the very
All right, Laura,
beginning,
let's take this off because this isn't what I was looking for. But anyway, he's basically saying it's going to be May. Now, Jeff Passan was on with us yesterday, and he thinks it's going to be the All-Star break. Do we have that audio or no?
If the season starts June 24th, my over-under has been All-Star break. Like, that is right when I think the season is, you know, I've been asking people, is the season going to start before or after the All-Star game?
So there you have it. He thinks before or after the All-Star break. So I think we're in, like, a real holding pattern here. Like, I think whether it's Mark Cuban, whether it's the commissioner. Now, granted, all these people are talking to the CDC. All these people are talking to their respective leagues. I saw that Commissioner Manfred on with Scott Van Pelt yesterday was talking about just collaborating with all the other commissioners. Although I thought it was interesting that, and maybe I'm looking too far into this, but I thought it was interesting that Rob Manfred, when talking about collaborating with other commissioners, mentioned Commissioner Silver of the NBA. He mentioned Commissioner Bettman of the NHL. He mentioned Commissioner Garber of the MLS. He even mentioned, whose name escapes me right now, but the PGA commissioner. He didn't mention Goodell. And Van Pelt asked him when he mentioned all the names. He threw in Goodell, and Manfred did not. And we've kind of talked about how we're kind of conflicted about the NFL right now because they're providing content. But it is fascinating that if I'm not reading it, that the NFL and Major League Baseball would not be collaborating on this.
Yeah, so you're breaking up there a little bit, George. I think so. Your Comrex is a little messed up. But yeah, the NFL is not being is not helping out in any sense right now. They've always been behind, right? Whenever we talk about any type of league, it's all the NFL is always the behind league. They're always the one that's like, no, we're going to do it our way. We're the NFL. And every other league is trying to change things to make it to work out. So it doesn't surprise me that the NFL is kind of not in the same league as, you know, NBA and MLB, all of those different things.
Yeah, it is. I guess it shouldn't be all that surprising, to be honest with you. And we'll talk to Tim Kirkchin about that in a few minutes. We'll get kind of his thoughts on how all this is kind of unfolding. But I just think it's fascinating, right, that that's where we're at. Now, you brought up a story yesterday, and Passan, we asked him about this. You sent me a story about how, let's use the Dodgers as an example. Let's say you traded for a free agent. In the Dodgers case, they traded for Mookie Betts, right? Who is going to be an impending free agent. And the season, let's say it doesn't happen, like the worst case scenario happens. Mookie Betts is going to be a free agent, and the Dodgers, for example, will have traded real assets for him and never potentially be able to see him wear a Dodger uniform on a real field in a real game. Like, that's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, it's really disappointing if it actually does get to that point, too. I mean, it's possible. We're most likely we'll have some sort of season. Rob Manfred is saying that there's going to be some sort of season. He's going to do everything he can to get there. But if we don't, if it gets canceled and the Dodgers never see Mookie Betts in a Dodger uniform in a regular season game, this is a disaster for the Dodgers. They traded away Alex Verdugo, who was a promising young outfielder. They traded away, Jeter Downs, who they got in the Cincinnati trade the year before, who was supposed to be a promising second baseman, shortstop, middle infielder. They lost Kenta Maeda. They went through a whole bunch of strife with Jock Peterson and Ross Stripling, who are happy to be Dodgers, thankfully. But besides that, I mean, this is a whole you miss everything. Who knows if Mookie Betts come back? He doesn't have any reason to stick around with the Dodgers. He doesn't even know what the culture is all that much about because he's been stuck inside the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a weird scenario where, look, there's going to be a lot of unprecedented things, and I think we just have to be prepared for the doomsday scenarios as much as we are hopeful that all these things actually turn out to be okay. Like, I don't think that we can just summarily dismiss the fact that we may find ourselves in a situation where, yeah, this stuff may not turn out the way we expect it to turn out, but either way, it is kind of weird that there's no opening day. I know that some of the teams around the league are doing some stuff, like they're replaying last year's opening day, whether it's on their social media feeds, maybe they're doing it on their regional sports networks. I think that that's smart because, what I've seen to this point, okay, is I've seen that if you replay stuff that was fun and cool to watch even from years ago, people will watch it. For example, on ESPN on Sunday, we replayed WrestleMania 30, and there were over 850,000 people watching that. And it was a WrestleMania from years ago. I saw this weekend that CBS was replaying March Madness games from, you know, back in the day. And they got over a million viewers. ESPN ran a 30 for 30, or excuse me, ABC ran a 30 for 30, and they got over a million viewers. So I think that if you run content that people find compelling, I think particularly sports fans right now are so thirsty for some semblance of sports that they're just going to watch anything, even if it's an old game. I told you yesterday, I found myself scrolling through the NHL network or through my DirecTV guide, and I came across the NHL network, and I was watching the 1996 Stanley Cup Finals. And I was like, all right, I'm in. Triple overtime game, game four, you know, John Van Beesbrook versus Patrick Waugh in net. Like, I was remembering all that stuff, and I watched it. Like, I was like, I'm in. So I get when people are watching this kind of stuff. It's why I think, like, if I were the NBA right now, and I don't know what Spectrum is doing with the Lakers, and I haven't really checked on some of these RSNs that have NBA teams. But if I were the NBA, I would allow the NBA app to have a library of any game, any playoff game you want to watch. And I know that YouTube has the ability, like for the most part, you can find on YouTube a lot of places where you can watch old games. But I think that the NBA should capitalize on that and do what like the WWE does and the UFC does with their app, where you have this vast library of old matches that you can just go back and watch at the touch of a finger.
You know what's crazy is that if you asked Adam Silver to do that, he'd be like, that's a great idea. Let's do that. I would not be surprised if you start seeing that at some point, because you're right. People just want to watch these things. Like, the Dodgers are going to be playing last year's opening day game against the Giants. And, you know, Jock Peterson is going to hit a home run in the sixth inning. So, you know, that's something to look forward to. And people are still going to watch it because they just miss it so much. So the NBA going and doing that kind of thing that you're asking for in the app, I can absolutely see it happening.
Yeah, I just think it makes all the sense in the world. Like, let's go. Let's do that already. So let's kind of move on here to something else real quick before we get to Tim Kirkchin, because we're going to talk a lot of baseball with Tim Kirkchin at 10:15 Pacific time. So Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report also says, and I don't mean to be doom and gloom today. Like, I'm not trying to do that. This is what we've tried to do for you. All right, we've tried to be an escape when we can, but when there's news, we're going to try to provide news for you. And that's kind of the goal on here. So Mike Freeman, who's a very credible, longtime NFL journalist of Bleacher Report, is saying that it will be, quote, nearly impossible for the NFL season to start on time. He's saying he's increasingly hearing from coaches and front office executives that they believe it'll be impossible or almost impossible to start the season on time. Some believe training camp won't start till the fall. And here's the thing, like, I'm okay with all of this stuff. Like, just if and when we can get back to some sense of normalcy, and I'm hopeful that we can, as long as you guys and us, we all do our due diligence, right? We listen to the social distancing heeds. We just kind of take care of ourselves, use common sense, wash your hands, all that stuff, right? Just be smart when it comes to this stuff. I do think that we can get to a point where the curve will eventually flatten, right? We've seen some of that in other countries like South Korea. And I think that maybe, just maybe, like we talked about yesterday with Brian Windhorst, like we talked about with Jeff Passan yesterday, that we can get to a point where we can have games as a real escape without any fans. And maybe they are in remote locations, like Windhorst told us yesterday, where they're not in NBA cities, where they're on a college campus and the games are being played remotely there. Or a G League location or something to that effect. Whatever it takes, I think that the sports fan, and I think America could just use the escape beyond Netflix right now. Like, no offense to Netflix and Hulu. And, you know, look, I'm on it all day. I'm on Disney Plus. My kids are watching Frozen 37 times a day. Like, I get that. But we'd also like to have some live games that we could watch. And I think that if we can get there in a few months, I think it would be a huge boost to everyone. But again, delaying the stuff to me is fine. Like, we got to do what we got to do. Like, the games are not as important at this particular time. I think there will come a time where it's absolutely important, but I don't think now is that time. But it would be nice to know what that timeline is, because you kind of want that light at the end of the tunnel where you can say to yourself, okay, if the season is going to start late in the NFL, I know it's going to start, and I'm going to use this as an example, in October or November or whatever, and training camps will start in after Labor Day. I just, you know, hopefully we get to a point here in the next month or so where we can really start to distinguish that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that we can figure out sometime. It's just so tough to give an actual timeline. I mean, to know when it's going to be. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, though, and Rob Manfred again was talking about it yesterday with Scott Van Pelt. He said, we are going to be there for you, just like baseball was after 9/11. Baseball will be here for fans right now as well, as soon as we can go back to normalcy, and they will at some point. It's just when that'll be, hopefully May, like he's saying, but probably a little bit later.
Yeah, I don't know if May is actually realistic, to be honest with you. I think Jeff Passan is right on this thing. It's going to be baseball in July is my best guess, and we'll see. But you know what? We'll ask Tim Kirchin. For those of you that are listening on the radio or on the app, we appreciate you always. For those of you that may be out trying to get groceries or whatever, if you get home, we are live streaming the show on multiple platforms on Twitter. You can find me at Sedano. You can also go to Twitch. That handle is Sedano Show. So you go to twitch.com/Sedano Show.
And Twitch. Same thing TV. For you.
I'm sorry, twitch.tv. Thank you. twitch.tv/Sedano Show. And same for YouTube. It is youtube.com/Sedano Show. And we're just going to run the stuff on different platforms. We're using Zoom. Bergman got it done yesterday. Congrats to Bergman. He was on the phone. How long were you on the phone to get this damn thing up?
Man, I didn't get this thing figured out until probably about 5 o'clock, somewhere around there. So all freaking day long. And all it turned out to be was one teeny tiny little thing. I had it all set up correctly. All you had to do was find, and it's in a little more button that says go live. And that was the one thing that we were missing the whole time.
So basically you're telling me you just didn't hit the start button.
Yes, essentially that's what happened. But what's going on with this hat? I like this hat you got going on here.
It is my NBA on ESPN hat. Yes. Yeah.
That is a great looking hat. Very nice. Yeah. It's like the old school. It's got the trucker style to it. I like that. Very nice. I don't see you in hats very often.
Yeah. Well, you know, I figured I'd go with the hat today. So there you have it. But yeah, for those – actually, I did the wrong direction, I want to say. Where is the logo? I want to put it on the live screen here.
There you go.
There. Now people can see it. Yeah. NBA on ESPN logo. There you have it. All right. So we'll take a break. Tim Kirchin will join us next. Those of you on the live stream, I would suggest if you're going to listen to Kirchin, because he doesn't have Zoom, that you listen on the ESPN app. You go to the ESPN app. There's a more tab on the bottom right-hand corner. Then click that. Scroll down. You'll see live radio. Then you, once you hit live radio, you'll see ESPN Los Angeles, Sedano Show. Click that, and you can hear Kirchin as well. And you can still watch us while we're talking to Tim. So there you have it. All right. So more of the Sedano Show coming up next. Tim Kirchin joins us in 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tim Kirchin was set to join us here. But Laura, what is up with Tim Kirchin's phone? It's busy?
I don't know why when I call people, it's always busy. Like, I think it's me sometimes.
I was going to say, I don't remember. I didn't know busy was still a thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you're getting like the busy signal when you're calling him?
Yeah, but I think it's because they might be trying to call someone, because I know that that's the only way that you'll get
a
busy
cell phone. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Oh, I see. Well, this segment, we'll try to find Tim Kirchin here. This segment on ESPN LA 710 is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. And Tim Kirchin is our guest, who will bring us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. So we'll talk to Tim in just a few moments. But let's talk about the NBA for a second. So we had Brian Windhorst on yesterday, Laura. Do we have the audio about the fun conversation that Brian kind of brought up in our... And by the way, if you missed the Brian Windhorst or Jeff Passan interviews, you can subscribe to the Sedano Show podcast on Apple Podcasts, on the ESPN app, on Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Brian brought up at the end of our conversation, we had like a 15-minute conversation with him. We somehow got into the conversation of what ifs. But play the audio that Brian from Brian yesterday. People are questioning the veracity of, or the validity of, what he said on Instagram Live about Pat Riley breaking up that team had they lost that game in Boston. I mean, I'm very confident in believing that that was going to be the case, that LeBron was absolutely right. You were there too. Do you feel the same way I do?
I think there was a decent chance that Chris Bosh would have been traded, because Bosh got blamed for everything. Also, you don't trade LeBron. He was in his prime MVP.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's a possibility that would have happened. What ended up happening, though, was they ended up making Bosh into a center, and they became a team that won. They signed Ray Allen and won 27 consecutive games the next season. But it's a reminder of how fragile the NBA game is, how big, giant plans can happen, and then one thing can turn everything. Like, look, what if the Warriors had won? Does Durant go there? I mean, that's one of the biggest what-ifs of the last 50 years in the NBA. What would have happened if things went different with Kawhi last summer? You know, what if you know, he had stayed in Toronto or something. I mean, there's a dozens of different things that could happen like that, and it's that's how fragile. So LeBron ends up playing, in my mind, his greatest game. The Heat stay together, win two titles. Had they lost, had LeBron started 3 of 11 instead of 10 of 11, who knows where the world would be.
So we were talking there with Brian about what LeBron said on his Instagram Live. If you remember, what LeBron said the other day was about that Game 6 in Boston, which is one of his greatest single-game performances, arguably his greatest single-game performance. But he talked about what the greatest what-ifs were, right? Like, if LeBron doesn't have that game, that team gets broken up probably. Chris Bosh probably gets traded. Like, do they win two championships without Chris Bosh? Like, it's a great what-if. And it just kind of spawned off a conversation of more of those. And I believe Tim Kirkjian is on the line with us now. Tim, first and foremost, hope you're safe and healthy. Yes?
Yes. Everybody here is good. A little stir crazy, but we're doing the best we can.
Okay, great. Great to hear. Now, we were just, I don't know if you heard that audio from Windhorse. We were talking about some of the great what-ifs in the NBA. Before we get into some baseball news, considering today would be opening day with you, can you, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but what are some of the greatest what-ifs in Major League Baseball history?
Explain, George. I'm not sure I understand.
Okay. So, for example, LeBron was talking about this on his Instagram Live, that if had they lost after, in his second season, the Heat hadn't won a championship yet, and he had this tremendous game in Boston, 45 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists. They were down 3-2 in the series. So Brian was saying, and LeBron was also saying, that had they lost that game, Pat Riley would have broken that team up. So we wouldn't have known what that would have looked like moving forward. Could they have won two more championships? Had they traded some of those pieces? So, and then he brought up like Kevin Durant. What if the Warriors don't lose to LeBron in the 2016 finals? Does Kevin Durant go there? What do the Warriors look like? You know, those kind of situations, like either free agent situations or trades that happen or didn't happen in your sport.
Yeah, that's a great question. 2011, what if the Red Sox had won that game in Baltimore that night and gone on to make the playoffs? As it turns out, they lost that game that night in excruciatingly difficult fashion. And then the Rays got a homer from Evan Longoria to win that game. So not only that knocked the Red Sox out of the playoffs, and Tito Francona got fired after that, and the general manager basically left after that, Theo Epstein, and that was it, I believe, for Jason Varitek. So you really wonder if the Red Sox, let's say, had made it to the playoffs and done something in the playoffs, would they have broken up that team the way that they did? My guess is they wouldn't have, but it was such a terrible September and such an awful final night of the season, that was it for them.
Yeah, that's interesting. And to make it more modern day, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, because I saw a story about this. Like, we'll use the Dodgers as an example. They've traded for Mookie Betts. Let's just say that there is a doomsday scenario and Major League Baseball cannot play this season. What do impending free agents like Mookie Betts do? What does baseball do with them? Are they still free agents going into next season, and the Dodgers would have traded all those assets for nothing?
Well, George, that's a great question also. We don't know about service time yet. We don't know about how guys are going to get paid, if they're going to get paid, exactly how this is going to be done. So therefore, Trevor Bauer, Mookie Betts, and other guys who are free agents after this season, will they be free agents after this season if there are no games played this year? And what if it's a truncated season? We're not sure about that either. So I would love to say this is what's going to happen, but this is all part of the massive negotiating that's going on right now, which you really can't even get the answer to until you find out exactly when the season is going to start, if the season is going to start. So the answer is we're working on that, and no one knows for sure exactly how that's going to happen.
Tim Kirkjian joining us here. So, Tim, I saw Rob Manfred on with Scott Van Pelt yesterday, and, you know, he obviously he didn't commit to a date. Like, they're hopeful, much like the NBA, to maybe start in May. What is your best guess, though, as to what this could look like, a real start time, and what would be the lead up to that? Would there be a spring training potentially, maybe a truncated one? Like, what do you expect to happen if indeed we do get back to games?
Well, no matter when they come back, there has to be spring training. This is an unusual sport, especially for a pitcher, that you can't just show up and start to play baseball. It's too difficult to do that in this sport. Pitchers are going to need minimum of 2 weeks if they're off for 2 months to get their arms back in pitching shape. Everyday players can make it in 2 weeks, but most pitchers are going to need three at least. So there has to be some sort of spring training. And as far as the first part of the answer, George, nobody knows when they're coming back. My guess would be if they get back for July, that would have to be seen as a victory, I think, for baseball, just given all the other things that are going on. I mean, maybe they open up at the All-Star break and play the All-Star game like they did in 1981 and then kick off the second half of the season. But none of that is certain, and my guess is we're going to be out for a while here.
Tim Kirkjian joining us here. I mean, that I believe you. I mean, look, this is the situation that we find ourselves in, and everyone is dealing with it. An interesting question that was posed to me just now via social media to ask you is if and when games do resume, and let's say it's safe to go. You know what? Let's tackle this one in a second. What do you expect fans to be part of the experience, or is your best guess that there will not be fans, at least initially?
Again, an impossible question to answer, as they all are at the moment. But my guess is they will play with fans when they come back. However, if there is a scenario where the goal is to play as many games as possible, and I'm just speculating here, and the first 25 games are played without fans, I think they would have to consider doing that. But I've been told by people in the game, like, let's just take the Rays. How in the world can the Rays pay their players and get absolutely zero money in from the fans? And granted, only 30% of your revenue pretty much comes from the fans and what they spend at the game, but that's still a lot of money to a lot of teams. So I think in a, not a worst case scenario, but a bad case scenario, they'll open without fans. But my guess is when they start, there'll be fans in the seats.
Okay, fair enough. What did you make of Scott Boras's thing about playing to Christmas and playing a neutral site World Series in California?
Well, he's certainly not the first one to come up with that. I mean, Joe Maddon has talked about something close to that. I've heard that from all sorts of people, that if you want to preserve the integrity of 162 games or play as many as you possibly can, you're going to have to go into November, maybe into December, and you're going to have to play in all warm weather places, because baseball, again, is just too difficult to play if it's 25 degrees outside. It's a terrible game played at that level, in that weather, because of the skill required to play it. So you'd have to play in warm weathers. You have to play in domes. You can only imagine how difficult that would be mechanically to get things done. So I wouldn't be surprised. Nothing would surprise me at this point. I wouldn't be surprised if we were still playing baseball in December.
Tim Kirkjian with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Obviously, today would have been opening day. Let me ask you this. Do you think that if we have a shortened season, that it could help certain teams more than maybe others?
Well, I always think a shortened season helps a team that's not that great, because baseball is built where you can get really hot for 60 games and be a pretty ordinary club and go 40-20. And that might be enough to get you to the playoffs, a stretch like that. Sparky Anderson always taught me the reason they play 162 games is because the season is so long, there are no excuses at the end. You end up exactly where your record says you should be. He said, no one can complain we ran out of time when it's 162 games. So I think a shortened schedule would help a you know, not a great team. In other words, it wouldn't help the Dodgers. What makes the Dodgers so great is the depth of their pitching, the depth on their club. They just wear you down over time. But any team can get really hot for 50 or 60 games. The
right.
beauty of baseball. So I think it helps the non-contending teams more than the really good teams.
Tim Kirkchin with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Before we let you go, Timmy, I know that there's a story right now up on ESPN.com about the best MLB prospects we've ever seen. You are as big a historian as there is, and I'm curious to see, like, if you had to pick a top three, who would it be?
Well, the one I wrote about was Ken Griffey Jr., because I'd never seen anything quite like that. The story I wrote, he comes to the Kingdome after getting drafted number one overall, and it's like he belongs in the big league park the second he walks in, and he is taking his first batting practice as a professional baseball player, and he's hitting line drives all over the field while he's carrying on a conversation with the writers who are all gathered around the cage watching him hit. So instead of being nervous, he's talking to the writers while he's slashing line drives everywhere. Then he goes, takes a rest, then he comes back and just peppers the right field stands at the Kingdome, home run after home run after home run. No one had ever seen anybody quite like that. He certainly tops on my list. Mike Trout, when he came up, even though he struggled initially, that was pretty ridiculous. And Mark Pryor coming out of college was supposed to be the most perfect pitcher we'd seen in a long, long time. But just another reminder, when you get hurt, it's hard, hard to play Major League Baseball.
Tim Kirkchin with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Tim, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Okay, George, see you.
Take care. Be healthy. Stay safe. There he is, Tim Kirkchin with us here on 710 ESPN. All right, coming up next, let's get back into some basketball stuff. I want to get into some of the greatest what-ifs that Windhorst brought up yesterday. He brought up a couple that were fantastic. So we'll do that. Stick around in just a moment. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests like Tim Kirkchin appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Real quick, talk about my friends at Indeed. You're the hiring manager. You're tasked with finding the most talented job candidates in your industry. That's a tall order. Indeed helps you narrow the field using their powerful suite of free tools to enhance your job posting. Screen your questions to identify qualified candidates based on must-have requirements that you define. And online skills test lets job seekers show you what they can do as well. So right now, post your job at Indeed.com. That's Indeed.com. Terms and conditions may apply. So, real quick, Ben Lyons is going to join us to talk movies in an hour. Now, Greg, that will be a lot easier because he actually has Zoom, right?
Yes, he has Zoom, and he's going to be on the stream with us. And he's going to be on the Comrex app as well, so he's going to be able to be out on the radio, on the app, everything as long and on Zoom, which is nice. So we do have some people on the app that have some questions for you, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that'll make life a little easier. Now we have some chat questions, right? Now, how are people getting on the chat? Are they on the chat via like Twitch or YouTube or which one or both or Periscope? How are they doing this?
Everything. So if you are on, I have an app that tells me if you're on Twitch, if it tells me if you're on Periscope, it tells me if you're on YouTube. And if you have questions, then we can actually see all of them on one screen. So right now, like Numbnuts on Twitch, which is a great name, by the way, is saying that he wants to know what your favorite Laker moment is from this season.
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say the Clippers win, you know, them beating the Clippers, because we talked about that for so long, right? That the entire season, it was like, oh my God, they can't beat the Clippers. And while I was trying to explain to you guys that I don't buy into the regular season meaning anything necessarily, like, I just have seen way too many LeBron teams not, like, the regular season not matter. Like, I remember the Bulls or the Nets or the Celtics, all those teams beating them in the regular season, and it didn't mean anything come playoff time, that I just wasn't that worried about it. But I think that has to be the big moment, right, from this season for them. It's just that They beat the Bucks and the Clippers back to back. So I guess that's not a singular moment, but I think that that weekend kind of encapsulates the best moments for them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is the weekend that really legitimized them. Spreadfire24, also on Twitch, is asking, will NBA games be played at teams' practice facilities?
So we talked to Brian Windhorst about that and Tim Bontemps about that this week. And I think that that is a real possibility. Like, I think there is a real chance that you're going to have that happen. I mean, Brian went a step further and said that maybe it's even at remote locations, not even in the cities where the teams play. And he's talking about maybe having everyone in one place altogether. You know, almost like an Olympics style thing, right? Like a tournament style situation. So I think that, you know, there's certainly everything on the table right now. From the conversations I've had with people, that seems to be the one phrase I hear the most, is everything when it comes to the NBA is completely on the table right now, that there is nothing that's not on the table right now.
Yeah, and then Grant LA on Periscope says, do you think they finish this NBA season no matter what? And what if we are delayed until 2021?
I think they finish no matter what. I don't think they care. I think that they're just going to do whatever it takes. Like, they're going to do whatever it takes to finish this season, and they'll figure out when to start the next season. Like, I don't think that that's even debatable. Like, Adam Silver was on with Rachel Nichols, I don't know, a week or two ago? I don't know. The days kind of all run together right now. I don't know. Do you feel the same way that the days all run together right now?
Yeah, everything is the same. I found a great meme yesterday. You know the Spider-Man meme where everyone's kind of pointing at each other?
Yes,
there's seven of them. There's seven Spider-Mans all pointing at each other, and it says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly what's happening right now. Every day, I don't know what day it is. I have to just keep telling myself it's Thursday because I forget.
Right. I mean, I literally – now look, I'm old, right? So I'm not young anymore. So I have to put – let's do a sidebar here. No. I have to put everything in my damn phone. I have to look at the calendar every day. Like, I used to make fun of older people when they would ask me, what day is today? And now I'm that guy. I'm the guy I used to make fun of. I'm like, what day is it today? But now I guess it's more than the norm, right? Considering just kind of what we're going through.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if I don't look at my calendar, if I don't have it in my calendar, it does not exist. I don't know. I will absolutely forget it. If you tell me, hey, let's meet up at 1 o'clock on Tuesday at this time, and I'll say, if it's not in my calendar, totally forgot. Not happening. Won't be there.
Yeah, it is crazy. But anyway, to answer the question, and we'll do more questions on the other side on the chat. And you could call in too at 877-710-ESPN. And by the way, we are trying our best to kind of, I know the people online are cranky because they can't hear everything, and it's day one, man. Relax. We're trying our best here, okay? But to answer the question, which was a good one, I do think it's a real possibility that they play either at practice facilities or, as Brian said, they all play in one location, tournament style. I think we're looking at all that being a real, real possibility. How do people submit questions for the chat other than tweeting us at Sedano? What else?
They can also go to twitch.tv/Sedano Show and put it right into the chat box there. We'll be able to see it. And on youtube.com/Sedano Show. And again, right into the comments, just go ahead and type in your questions and we will see them.
Okay, fair enough. So we'll do that. So we'll take a quick break. We'll take more of your questions on the other side. Plus, I want to get into a couple of things that's going on in the NFL. The Cam Newton situation is pretty incredible. LeBron has also talked recently about the current situation right now. So we'll get to all that stuff. And we didn't get to the what ifs, the windy what ifs. Windhorse came up with some great stuff because we need content right now. Let's be real. Some great stuff about the greatest what ifs. I've got a couple of them in the NBA that I think make a ton of sense beyond the ones that he even mentioned, which is the Kevin Durant one and the Kawhi one. We'll get to all that coming up next. Stick around. We're back in 3 minutes. And if you're listening or if you're watching on the stream, you will get us commercial free. So there's bonus Sedano Show on the stream right now on Twitter, on YouTube, and Twitch. So on the radio, we're back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any of our interviews, for example, yesterday we had two fantastic ones with Brian Windhorst and Jeff Passan. Today, Tim Kirkjian was on about 20 minutes ago. Always great, Tim Kirkjian. We had a good Gilbert Arenas one earlier in the week. He cursed. He called Kobe a mother bleeper, and he meant that in an endearing way. So if you missed any of those interviews, you can check out our interviews on demand, the Sedano Show podcast and the ESPN app. Obviously, you can find it as well wherever you find your podcast, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? And this segment also brought to you again by our friends at Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. Bergman, have you found yourself reaching out to people more via text or whatever?
Have I found myself, you were breaking up, so you got to, I'm going to be very transparent here. Have I found myself doing what? You think he dropped? All right, so then I'm going to just answer some of the questions that are on the stream for people here until George does get back here. George, if you're back on, just interrupt me and say, hey, I'm still here. But I've found myself really just being with my family a lot. And one of the great things that I've actually done during this, and Laura, you can jump in here as well, is that I've actually sat down with my daughter. My daughter is with my ex-wife, and she, because she wants to keep everyone kind of stuck together. And she is, every night or every other night, we play a game on FaceTime. So the last two nights, we've been playing this Mario Monopoly game. And what's been happening is, so I would just roll for her, and then she moves, and she tells me what she wants to do and all those things. And she's having a blast. And this way, I still get to see my daughter. I still get to have time playing games with Michelle and her daughter Paisley. And we have just a nice little fun, you know, atmosphere with the kids, which has been a lot of fun. And Laura, if you can tell me whenever George is back.
But yeah, no, I'm otherwise, here.
Okay, good.
I listened to your whole conversation about playing board games.
Yeah, it was fun.
Online. I think that's actually cool. That is interesting for sure.
Right, yeah, because we are trying to keep each other separate for, you know, the 14-day quarantine to make sure that both of us, everybody's fine, and then we can go back to being back together.
It's actually really smart. I mean, you know, we had your brother on yesterday talking about pot laws because he's a pot attorney. That's probably simplifying what he is. What does he do actually?
He is a partner at Nolan Hyman, and he is a attorney for mostly a marijuana attorney or a cannabis attorney is the way they want to put it. And what he does is if somebody wants to open up a shop or know the laws or do any of those, he does all of that kind of stuff.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So. Sedano's having some technical issues right now. He might need to reset his Comrex. But I'm going to answer some of these questions on the stream until you. And again, if George just say, "Hey, I'm here," and I will, we'll get right back to you. But Omar Gonzalez is saying Cam should sign with the Chargers if they want to overtake the Lambs or the Rams in popularity. And you know what? Maybe the Chargers would be good for them, but I don't know if they run the right system for Cam and if that's a good fit. And we've talked about this with George over the last couple of days, is that Cam just doesn't seem to be the right fit here in LA for the Chargers. And the Chargers have come out and said that they're not going to sign anybody. They're not going to trade for a quarterback. They're not going to sign a quarterback. They are going to go into the draft and draft somebody. And that's the way that they're going to go about it. And they're going to stick with Tyrod Taylor, which is kind of shocking to me and shocking to a lot of people. But Tyrod Taylor is going to be the number one starter going into the season. So I think that's pretty crazy to think that way, because Cam has just kind of shut down for the last that I've seen the last couple of years. He's just not the same guy. Omar is also saying, I am not a ginger, Omar. No, I'm not a ginger. I have red hair. I have a red beard, and I've let it grow. And as it grows out, I'm not going to actually shave my beard or trim it until I can go back to work. So I'm just going to let it grow. By the time we go back to work, I'm hoping to have a ZZ Top type beard, and it's going to be bright red. But my hair on top is actually brown, which is odd. I know. Sunny Sandoval is saying, what are the possibilities to just sign Mookie long term? And George is back.
Yeah.
So Welcome back. We have about a minute or two. So I was talking about Cam not signing with the Chargers, and also someone wants to know what are the possibilities to just sign Mookie long term.
What? Say that again. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
See, are you listening to me, George? I'm just kidding.
I'm not. I'm the one not listening to you two today. Normally, it's you not listening to me. But go ahead.
Yeah, basically.
Laura said I had an echo, so I had to try to adjust something. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Good. You are good. It sounds good here. But yeah, basically, the first one was just about Cam in San Diego. In Los Angeles with the Chargers. I'm never going to get that right. And whether or not you think that's a good move, do you think that they will overtake the Rams in LA if Cam was with the Chargers?
No. First of all, I don't think that the Rams would get overtaken. There's just a history thing at play here. Look, do I think the Chargers should take a shot at Cam? I'm actually stunned. We talked about this, you and I, the other day, that there's just not a lot of landing spots for Cam, which is kind of crazy, right? Like, the Bears would rather have Nick Foles and that contract, okay? Like, let's not forget about just Nick Foles. I know he won a Super Bowl, but he's also coming off an injury, too. And he's got a worse contract, I think, than Cam, because Cam... I mean, now he does. Now he's cut, right? So you can sign him to whatever you want, per se. Now he has to agree to it, but it's the law of economics, right? So, man, like, there's only so much he can talk to him about, or so much teams can talk to him about as far as their contract worth is concerned. Laura, am I breaking up again?
Yeah, we're losing George again. So let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to 710 ESPN.